turn to the book of John, chapter 21. The last chapter of John. With it being Easter and all, practicing the Easter play, some scenes from the Easter play have really been on my mind lately. And this is not part of it. This is after Easter, actually. But anyway, if you can find your place, stand. Verse number 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on the wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and they entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? And he said, and they answered, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, if the Lord now, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging a net of fishes. As soon then as they were came to land, they saw a fire of coal there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring on the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Lord, let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for your word, God. Lord, for this appearing to the disciples, Lord, and the lesson, Lord, that we can take from it, God. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that I can give them something, Lord, through you, Lord, that, Lord, they can take away, God, and apply to their lives to help us be better Christians, God. Lord, help us be closer to you, Lord, to want to do more for you tonight. God, we don't thank you, Lord, for what you don't do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have here, as it says, this is the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples. Now, it's not all of them. It's like seven of them. So five are missing. So verse 1 sets the scene. They're on the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee. And we have these disciples. It's sort of what a odd group of disciples it is. Sort of misfits when you look at them. The first one it says that it is, well, Peter, of course. And we know that Peter was quick, hot-tempered. We have it names the sons of Zebedee. And, you know, Jesus called them the sons of thunder because they were known to get hot-headed and have a temper. We see here it says that Thomas was there. We know that Thomas is a doubter. If you'll go and read in chapter 20, after Jesus appeared to the disciples the first time, Thomas wasn't there, and they're telling Thomas about it. And Jesus was there, and Thomas said, I won't believe it. He said, I only believe it if I see those nail prints in his hands, and I can run my fingers through them, and if I can punch my fist through his side. That's the only way I don't believe it. And then it says Nathanael. Nathanael also said something that was pretty silly early on. Philip was talking about this man that's coming from Nazareth. And the Bible says in John 1:46, Nathanael said, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Wow. Wow, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Only the best thing that's ever happened came out of Nazareth. I mean, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings was born in Nazareth. But we'll get that in a little bit. And Peter, I mean, even in that verse, the last part of John 1:46, Philip said, come and see. And you know what? He followed him. Okay? And there's two other disciples that are not named. I was listening to different people this week. And, you know, one of them said, you know, it could be that they're not listed here because, you know, could be us. You know, we're misfits. We're quick-tempered sometimes. We say stuff we don't mean. We think stuff we shouldn't think. We do things we shouldn't do. So that should be us. But that's not even part of what we came to talk about tonight. Verse 3, we see that they fish all night. They don't catch anything. And you may wonder, why are they fishing at night? Well, you know, back in that day, this is Peter's trade before he became a disciple. His trade was to be a fisherman like the sons of Zebedee. This is what they did. So he might have just been fishing because he wanted to take them to the market the next morning to sell them because, you know, nobody wants any old fish because fish will make you sick, as I found out this weekend, and it'll make you not feel good, but especially when you eat too much. But he might want to sell it, but I don't know. But anyway, they fished all night, didn't catch nothing, and Peter's a professional fisherman. I could understand if I went fishing because I've never been good at fishing. I don't want to go fishing. I just soon as get a group of guys up and go to Carowinds and hang up by Fury. But that's just me. If y'all want to go, let me know. But that's just me. But they fished all night. A lot of these dudes on here are fishermen. They fished all night and ain't caught nothing. But then it says that morning came. Aren't you glad that morning comes? I'm glad, you know, the first day of on the third morning, you know, Mary went to the temple. Mary went to the tomb in the morning, and Jesus was gone. But anyway, so we get in the morning, and Jesus is there, but they don't know it's the Lord. When he first talks to them, when they see him, they don't know it because they're off on the water. And you know, we know sometimes in the early mornings, you know, you might look out and the sun's just now rising. You can't see a whole lot. I don't know if it was foggy or not. You know, if I was to see Jackie at Walmart, you know, and it's real light and he might be a long way away from me, I would know Jackie by the form of his body. I would know Taylor. I would know it was either Taylor or Trevor if they were far away. Let's just be honest. But we would know each other, but they didn't recognize him. But then something amazing happens. He speaks. The Bible says in verse 5, then said Jesus unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. They still don't know who he is, but it's fishing the click for one of them. He says, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And you know what happened? They cast it on the right side of the ship, and the Bible says that the net was so full that it almost break. They couldn't pull it. You know, we would probably still be sitting there arguing because, you know, this ship was only about 7.5 feet wide. If he's on the left side, I ain't catching nothing. If I don't throw it on the right side, I ain't gonna catch nothing. We'd still be sitting there arguing, and we wouldn't have got nothing. But these guys listen. Now, as soon as that net was full, the Bible says, now this is John writing this, he said, the disciple whom Jesus loved, he said that he looked at Peter and said, it's the Lord. Now I'm sure before he said it's the Lord, he thought Peter's hot-headed, I don't know what Peter's going to do, but he still told Peter, he said, it's the Lord. You know, we need to be telling people it's the Lord. You know, there's so many things that happen around here that it's the Lord. We've read in the Bible over and over again the stuff about, you know, we need to be proclaiming it's the Lord. Creation, y'all know it's the Lord. scientists can try to tell you what they want to tell you, but there's no way that everything works in the universe and in the creation the way it does without a creator. You know, the sun rises every morning, the earth keeps spinning, we never get too close, we never get too far away. That moon, you know, that moon's just at the right distance from us to keep those waves and that tide are rolling. And you know, the tide never goes farther than it needs to. You know, the birds, they find their food every day. The deer take care of the deer. And you know, it's just all perfect. It just amazes me. You know, Mercury has never ran into Earth. We never ran into Saturn. It's just perfect because it had a creator. And, you know, we need to tell people it's the Lord. You know, in the Bible, there's just many, many instances of where the Lord showed up. Samson took a jawbone of a donkey and killed 3,000 Philistines. You know, that's amazing to me. But what's real amazing, if you read that verse, it just doesn't say a jawbone. It says a new one. Where did he get a new jawbone from? They didn't have no manufacturers making this fake stuff like we have now. I mean, really, where did the new jawbone come from? It had to come out of a donkey, but it was new. There wasn't nothing wrong with it. That just blew. I didn't see that until today. I read that. I thought, oh, my goodness. That's a new jawbone. Where did he get it? Where God provided it. That's of God. Gideon, we read about it in Sunday school a few weeks ago. He had 32,000 soldiers that was going to go up 125 or 135 Midianites. God said, no, Gideon, that's too many people. He got him down to 300, and they won. That's the Lord. That's the Lord, y'all. Over and over, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went in the fire and didn't even stink. Goodness gracious, you get around a fire, roast of marshmallows or whatever, and you stink, and you have to go in the house to take a bath because you can't even smell. You can't stand to smell yourself. But they didn't even stink. Saturday, I was playing in the yard messing around, and I came in, and my family said, you need to go take a bath. And I wasn't even, I didn't think I stunk, but they didn't even stink. That's the Lord. And you know, it happens here over and over and over again. We've got so many miracles in this building of people who shouldn't even be here anymore. And you know, it's the Lord. You know, people tell Dusty all the time, they say, I don't know how you put up with him. Over and over, I get tired of hearing it. I don't know why they say it. But it's the Lord. There's no way. We're coming up on 27 years. I know. I know I'm probably aggravating to live with. I know I'm probably a lot at times. But for 27 years, she's endured it. You know what? It's the Lord. Ashley puts up with you. It's the Lord. I don't know how Angie puts up with that. You know? But y'all, really, it's the Lord, and it's over and over and over again, whether he's healing us, if we call out him in prayer. But we don't. We don't want to put the dead on the other side. But he said, it's the Lord. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and know them, and I know them, and they follow me. There was another time when somebody was following the voice of the Lord. Mary and Martha, Jesus at their house. And Martha's, you know, she's up worried. And, you know, women usually are, because when somebody comes to the house, they want everything to be perfect and they don't want nobody to think lowly of them. Martha's up working and carrying on. And she tells Jesus, she says, Mary's not helping. She don't care. And Jesus says, Martha, you're careful and troubled about a lot of things. But Mary's worried about that for what's important. You know, she was wanting to hear what Jesus had to say. But how do we hear Jesus' voice? We got to get away from some stuff. And I don't mean all the time, but, you know, we need to get by ourselves with the Lord. I thought about the movie War Room. You know, that woman in War Room, she had that closet that she went to and she prayed. You know, if you've never watched that movie, the house is for sale. This realtor's showing it. And her family's going through a bad time. And she walks into that closet and she just feels the presence of the Lord because that woman had been in there. You know, but we're too busy. We get caught up with our family and our friends and our hobbies and our phones. I read something. My phone's right here on the front. It's always with me. I'm one of the worst ones to be talking about this. But it said you need to put your phones in the other room because your brain capacity is lower if it's in the room with you. But, you know, every one of us probably have them on here because, you know, who knows who's going to call from school, or if, you know, my children are away at college, they might need me. But I need to learn to get away from that and really get in touch with God. You know, we need to turn off Facebook. You know, we get caught up on that because somebody put something on there and we don't like it. And we don't want to put nothing on there because we're Christians, but we'll keep going back to it to see if anybody else said anything. Let's see what else. And we all do it. You know, they some cool stuff on the Lord. Let me see. Oh, I can't believe they said that. And then you screenshot it. And you send it to your friends. You believe they said that? But that's why we're not getting in touch with God. We're not listening for his voice. And you know, it used to didn't be like that because used to, you know, you couldn't get on your phone all the time and know everybody's business. But they ain't know everybody's business. But we need to be getting in touch with God. Amen. All right, so I saw three things here. Because they listened to God, he filled the net. Amen. He filled their net. I remember one Sunday when the Spirit came down, you know, he filled my net. I gave my life to Jesus. That was a great day. You know, there's been times when I didn't know how the bills were going to get paid. You know, he filled my net. He didn't have to do that. People being touched on this altar. You know, we need to be saying, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. We need to give him credit. We need to get people. We need to get to him, no matter what it takes. The Bible says in verse number seven, therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his father's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself in the sea. Peter was determined that no matter what happened, he was going to get to Jesus. But let's back up for a second. Before Jesus got there, before Jesus showed up, Peter was probably sitting there thinking, he's seen Jesus twice since he died. But as we remember, Peter is the one who denied Jesus when he said, I'm not going to deny you, Lord. Remember, the Lord said, Peter, before that cock crows, before that rooster crows, you don't deny me three times. Peter said, oh, no, Lord, I'll go to you even death. But later that night, we all know that Peter's out there and the first woman walks by and Jesus is there being beaten and they're getting him ready. They just abusing him. And the woman comes by and said, oh, you're with him. Peter said, oh, no. Next person said, you're one of them boys. Oh, no. You talk like them. No. And then that cock crew at the same time. And I'm sure Peter relived that these days over and over and over again. But here he is. He's trying to get to Jesus because he realizes there's something different. Now, the other ones rode in on the boat, and that's okay too. But we need to get to Jesus any way we can. That should be our main focus, is to get to Jesus. Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Do we care that enough? You know, do we care that much to get people to Jesus? The four friends in the Bible, they tore the roof off. I thought today, wow, somebody, if we were so packed in here, it would be wonderful if this place was packed out. But it's not. But on a Wednesday night, if this place was packed out, and somebody started coming through the roof, I'm probably sure there's somebody here thinking, my Lord, I wonder who's going to pay to have that fixed. Wouldn't even care. Wouldn't even care that the fella got healed because, you know, oh, my. It's supposed to rain. I don't know what we're going to do. That would be our biggest concern. But not, they just tore it off. That's how we need to be, whatever it takes. You know why? It's important. Because heaven and hell is forever. Forever and ever and ever. The whole time we've been standing here tonight, that rich man, he's still in hell. He never gets out. He never gets a break. It's always and forever. Next thing I saw, I'm going to read 34:15 too of Psalms because I like it. 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto, and his ears are open unto their cry. 34:18, let's read that one too because it's good too. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Amen. That's good. So they fished all night, hadn't caught anything. They moved 7 feet to the right, and they caught. When they got to the land, he not only had filled their net, he filled their appetite. They ain't caught nothing all night. Peter swims to the shore. He gets to the shore. The other ones, they row to the shore. It says when they got there, the most amazing thing happened. It says, as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus had what they need. He had something to fill their appetite. They'd worked all night, hadn't caught nothing. I don't know how Jesus caught these fish. I don't know if he just made them be there because he's Jesus. But the point is he had them. And it says, let's think about this then. How has Jesus filled us? Well, I'm going to tell you. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Psalm 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Psalm 34:10 says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, Moses is talking to the children of Israel. He said, yeah, I know. He said, we've been going around this wilderness for 40 years now. He said, but the Lord told me it's time to get away from this mountain. It's time to turn and go north, I believe he said. And he said that the Lord told me, he said, the Lord told him, he said, God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. You know, when we serve in the Lord, we don't lack for anything. He is our provider. Psalm 107:9 says, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to destroy. It said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Our appetites can be filled. So, he asked, what have you brought? He told him. He said, Jesus said, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask, who art thou? And knowing that it was the Lord, they knew it was the Lord. He never once introduced himself to him here. They recognized who he was. So we have that he filled their nets. He filled their appetites. And then he's going to specifically talk to Peter, but he also fulfilled their purpose. The last part of this, verse 16 says, or 15, where he talks to Simon. He says, Simon, you lovest me more than these. I don't know what he was pointing to. He could have been pointing to the fish. He could have been pointing to the disciples. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say I wasn't there. But he said, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Okay, Lord. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said to him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said, feed my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. You know what their purpose was? It's the same as ours. We got to go spread it. You know, if we don't go spread it, our children, our grandchildren, they're going to end up missing the mark. You know, the world is not concerned with this anymore. The church is not respected like it was. Preachers are not respected like they were. Times have changed. If Taylor don't continue to stand in the gap, those boatload of children that he has, they're going to miss the boat. They don't miss the boat, so to speak, if he doesn't stand in the gap and say, y'all, this is the way to live. If Taylor, I don't want anything to happen to Taylor, but if Taylor passes away, you know what? It's up to us to keep leading his children on. You know what? Because we want them in heaven. We don't want Taylor to be disappointed in heaven when we all make it there if he's there first, if we didn't keep on. But we got to do it. It ain't up to everybody else, and we're the worst at it because we don't tell people it's the Lord. We don't warn people. So we got to do better, church. It's on us. I got three girls that were raised at my house, and 50, 80, 90 years from now in heaven, I want to look around and see them walking around the corner. That's my goal for them. I want them to have a wonderful life here. I want them to be self-sufficient as far as their money and stuff because I really want them off my payroll. But I want to say, but above all that, if they don't ever make a dime, Lord, I really want them to make money. If they don't ever make a dime, I want them in heaven because I cannot stand the thought of them burning in hell forever and ever and ever. So we got to make sure that we go out, that we spread the gospel. You know, Jesus told them that it's of us, go to every nation. You know, the Easter plate's coming up. That is a wonderful time to invite people. We have 100 postcards coming. So between now and Sunday, you need to write down names and addresses of people that you want invited, because we got to get them there. It's up to us. We cannot drop the ball. Wouldn't it be horrible to know that you work with somebody every day, or you sit at the table every day with your brother or sister, and you never, ever told them about heaven? Wouldn't that be horrible? And to sit and watch them be thrown into hell and think, wow, I didn't warn them. I should have warned them. We can do better. We can fulfill that purpose. Peter fulfilled that purpose, by the way. I'll tell you this and I'll stop. If you turn over to Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching. All he's preaching is Jesus lived a perfect life. He died. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. And the Bible says that 3,000 souls were saved. A simple message. 3,000 souls were saved because Peter followed the Lord. And what we really can learn from this is failure's not final. You know, Peter messed up royally. He betrayed Jesus. He denied Jesus. But I'm sure that day when he swam up to the shore, I bet he walked up and I bet he saw those fish, and I bet Jesus probably just went, we're good. You know, in this time and age, thought of something else. In this time and age, when you invited somebody over, you know, that was sort of like of a peace offering. Wouldn't it have been cool, though, to be that disciple? Wonder how many meals Jesus cooked for people. Jesus cooked for these guys. That's love right there, man. Jesus, that's a peace offering. He was saying, Peter, we're good, buddy. You denied me, but we're good. I know you went out that night and you wept bitterly, Peter. I heard your prayers. We're good. Brother Ralph, Robert, if y'all just come get a song. You know, if there's somebody you need to pray for, if there's somebody that's been on your heart that you know they're lost, and if you could, you would get saved for them. You know, if I could, I would just pray for everybody I know and say, Lord, let them go to heaven.